on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we've got about 30 minutes left in today's show. Again, we're out early today. Ole Miss baseball against Mississippi State. First pitch scheduled for 6 o'clock, but we'll get you out there for the pregame show starting at 5:30. Breaking news everywhere in case you missed it. NCAA tournament expanding to 76 teams and NBA implementing a new tank policy. All of that dropping at the end of the last hour. But we need to talk the NFL. And we do it at this time every single week with Beau Marchant.
National Football League talk every Tuesday with Beau Marchant, covering the NFL draft at college2pro.com and the NFL Draft Bible, covering the Steelers for Sports Illustrated, living and running in Eastern Ohio, and on Twitter X at Beau Marchant. Here's Beau with Bryant and Brett.
Beau Marchant joins us to talk the NFL, and mainly today, the NFL draft. It was a lot of fun over the weekend watching it in Pittsburgh. The crowd looked great. They were getting into it throughout the entire draft, but certainly when the Steelers were on the clock, even on Saturday, when you had the player from Navy get selected, he was there in attendance. They did it up big for them, so just a really fun weekend all around. What was your takeaways from the draft in Pittsburgh?
Well, let's start with the Tennessee Titans. I think they began the craziness with taking Carnell Tate at number 4, and then the Rams taking Ty Simpson at 13, and then the debacle of Omar Khan on the phone with Mekhi Lemon, and lo and behold, the Eagles. So I think for round one, if that wasn't enough excitement and thrill for any fan, along with all the other picks, the other 30 picks in the draft, or 29 picks, I thought it was a fabulous night one. I was so excited because, you know, once Fernando Mendoza went one, we did not know who was going number two. You know, we had a, you know, you could guess, but nobody knew. And I love that type of excitement. When you're on pins and needles, you're really anticipating Roger Goodell walking up to the podium, and you are on the edge of your seat waiting to hear what word he's going to pronounce out of his lips. Was it going to be R? Bell? Was it going to be David? And lo and behold, he says David Bailey. And I love first round. Carnell Tate, again, that I think that started it. And then you had the Ty Simpson onto the Steelers stuff. And I just thought it was a great round one. And overall, just, you know me, I don't think they could have done anything except not draft guys. I was going to be excited anyways. Mm-hmm. It's like my Christmas in April.
And Pittsburgh, it was just nailed. In the NFL, nobody listens to their network partners and their fans better. And it's in that order. They listen to the network partners first, but they also listen to the fans, lopping 1 minute off between each selection. It really did. About the slowest time of the night was everybody waiting for Mendoza to get drafted.
It really was. Yeah, and the clock's coming off at such a good rhythm. It's kind of like the baseball clock in baseball. You know, it just keeps the rhythm of the game going a little quicker. You don't have those lulls where you're kind of waiting around. We know it's important decisions, and I mentioned last week, Omar Khan mentioned to us that the 10 minutes to 8 minutes, you know, it really wasn't something they were highly happy about, but nonetheless, that's the protocol, and, you know, it's a TV build industry, and you're going to accommodate to make that money, and they all kind of, you know, they all have their hand in the pile, if you will. They're all going to get a little bit of that cash one way or another. So it just took a little bit more due diligence prior to the draft to get what you needed done, but I think it was a fantastic night, and even Friday night, you know, you have the second and third rounds. I always love day two more than I love day one. Because I think that's where you really get into the contributors that, you know, aren't the highest, you know, known guys, but they're kind of the known guys. And obviously day three, but I love that. But fabulous day one. I thought in Pittsburgh looked beautiful. The weather held up Friday and Saturday. The weather was immaculate. It's just perfect spring football.
Perfect.
And I told you it could have backfired and, you know, I know that night rain showers moved in, but that cleared away before the draft started on Saturday. But, you know, it could have been cold. It could have been 41. It could have been 35. You know, we're here in Northeast Ohio, Western Pennsylvania. We get the same weather. So, you know, we could have sunny and 70 today and 33 and flurries tomorrow. So, Thankfully, though, it went off with the hitch. And I think, you know, you guys know how it is. If you're going on a picnic and it's sunny out, it just enhances the whole mood. If you're going on a picnic and it's rainy and gloomy.
No fun.
It just dampens the mood. But I think everybody who visited that got it. Just an extraordinary event out of the city of Cleveland and out of the NFL hosting it there.
Yeah.
Or the city of Pittsburgh, I should say.
Who had more fun, Bo Marchand or Terry Bradshaw? Because he was really honored and it looked like he really enjoyed hearing the ovation one more time.
That was the first time I've seen him there since I've covered the Steelers. Not to say that he hasn't been in the city, but that's the first time I've seen him at a public event. Again, I don't know. He could have been in 1,000 public events last year. But for me, in terms of the NFL or Steelers-type related stuff, that
it's
was
been
my first time.
It's been complicated, hasn't it?
I guess, you know, and I don't know why, but, you know, and it was fun seeing him and Ben together. You know, those are some of the things I took away from the, like, the Steelers side of it. You know, I see TJ every day, or not every day, but, you know, I see TJ, I see Cam. Mel Blount is at every Steelers event, every honoring, every type of, you know, type of gala, if you will. Mel Blount's there. John Stallworth is always around. Rocky Blyer's always around. So you have a lot of heavy hitters that are accustomed to seeing on big occasions. But Mr. Bradshaw, Terry Bradshaw, that was one of the things I took away. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Terry Bradshaw. Like, you know, I was blown away. I really was, and I was excited because, you know, growing up here, you know, I mean, I was a young boy when they were in their heyday. Not enough to remember it. I remember the finals, you know, the 80s end of it. But nonetheless, I mean, it's hard to grow up an hour from Pittsburgh and not know and cheer for all those guys. We all had a 12 and a 32 and all those other things on our shirts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bo, I've got to ask about Caleb Downs, the first selection for the Cowboys in the first round. I'll be honest, I cannot remember the last time I had the type of reaction I had Thursday night to a Dallas Cowboys draft pick. Maybe Micah was like the last time I reacted like that. I acted like a child. My girlfriend was making fun of me, but I didn't care because the Cowboys got Caleb Downs. What do you think of that selection, and how much does he impact this
Brian's
season?
He's getting ring sizes and not to get married to the girlfriend
that's
for
right.
Cowboys Super
Cowboys,
Bowl
That's
ring.
Exactly right. Brett, you know me extremely well.
I tell you what, they did themselves some good last week. And the idea, and you know, it was such a hot top talk. You know, Caleb Downs is a prospect, kind of like we get caught up into the running back, you know, dilemma. You know, are they worth this high of a pick? As a football player, Caleb Downs is top five, without a question. It's just positional value. So he kind of, you know, got through the, you know, the maneuvering, and he slipped, to the 11th pick. And bravo to the Cowboys, you know, for being on the ball, making that move, and getting a guy who, you know, what we're thinking right now, you know, we're going to talk Hall of Famers too. I mean, this is a guy that you could put maybe, you know, in a Hall of Fame class. When Nick Saban says that this is one of the best guys I've ever coached or been around, et cetera, that to me is, I mean, if that was my scouting report, I'm like, what did Saban just say? I'd be like, well, he's draftable. Let's put him in the top five. I would even need to see his tape. This is, what did this Nick Saban say? You know, Nick Saban didn't coach some, you know, low-grade program. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the most dominant force for almost a decade in college football, and he's brought a lot of fantastic guys into the National Football League. And I think for him to compliment Downs with that type of compliment is fantastic.
That position that Downs plays in the defensive secondary, whether it's safety or corner, that's Nick Saban's real specialty. I mean, he's good at it all.
Yeah.
He can identify the best deep snapper, but when he's talking defensive backs, you better be listening.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that is his wheelhouse. Among all the other wheelhouses he has in the National Football or in his mind of football, that is one he really is dialed
in. I hadn't found a weak spot yet.
No. Caleb Downs is fantastic. If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be so thrilled. And then, like, they went edge rusher, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to love the way they really made a point to fortify the defense, which they had to do after trading Micah. You know, and they picked up Quinton Williams. And so they're doing everything they can. Listen, we talk about the Cowboys so much about, you know, because they're the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And they're always on the cusp of being that team, possibly being that team. But you really got to like, you know, I mean, hopefully the George Pickens things, you know, they get that tidied up. We know he's in, you know, all that stuff. But with the defensive pieces, Caleb Downs and Malachi Lawrence and Barham in the third, you really got to like just the potential of this team. And it's going to take a little bit of time. It's not going to come out in 2026 on fire. At least you want to think so. But nonetheless, you really got to appreciate what they did on draft night. I think they fortified a lot of holes, and they weren't the glamour holes, you know, kind of like your receiver and your quarterback and all those other things. You know, they went with the meat and the potatoes. You know, Drew Shelton, fourth round out of Penn State, taking that offensive lineman. You know, they fortified the big boy positions that make you play big boy football. Hopefully that helps them as they make their path, hopefully, towards the playoffs. And as Bryant hopes, you know, he gets to get fitted for that ring.
Yeah, you got that right. I'm praying for that. You mentioned George Pickens, and it's been kind of weird this last week. The news was reported on Thursday, the day of the first round, that he was going to sign that tender for the franchise tag. And then that caused a lot of people to think, okay, he's going to get traded tonight, because once he signs that, he is eligible to be traded. But as of yesterday, the last time I saw anything about it, he still has not signed, and now even more rumblings about maybe something happening before the start of the season. What is your feeling with George Pickens? Obviously, you know George Pickens very well with his time with Pittsburgh. We can know things can get a little untidy off the field. What do you think this ultimately looks like throughout the rest of the offseason?
Well, I share the same confusion. You know, when I saw that, I'm like, wow, the Cowboys are really on top of things. Mm-hmm. You know, besides of all the other news that happened on night one, that news was so strange because we know the debacles with the Jerry Jones and the contracts.
That was our mistake, Bo. We thought that they were on top of things.
We thought they were, and that's what the Cowboys do. They lead us to believe that they're on the path, and then they trick us, and we go down the wrong path.
Yep.
I don't know. Listen, George is George, and from a media perspective, he says it like he sees it, and you got to respect him for it. He gets some, you know, abuse for it, but you want a guy that speaks the truth, he speaks the truth. And, you know, I'm sure if you put a microphone in front of him right now and you ask him what's going on, I don't think he would pull a punch. I think he would deliver the biggest blow he could and say, hey, this, if it's that part, if it's there. You know, he's just, all I'm saying is he's not going to shy away from telling you what's on his mind, good or bad. So, but they got to get him. I hope for all the Cowboys faithful out there and George Pickens and the Cowboys that they resolve this quickly. This doesn't linger and become a circus. And lo and behold, your guys are doing the same thing like Micah Parsons, and you're getting rid of George Pickens, you know, before the draft. And now you don't have the elite guy to, you know, pair up next to CeeDee Lamb. And then they're going to they're going to try to get some garbage guys, you know, off other teams. You know, if I was Jerry Jones, you're up there in years. Wouldn't you just like to have some peace of mind knowing that you and George worked out a deal, you had a fantastic draft, you got one of the top players in Caleb Downs on your roster, go into 2026 with no headaches, just a smooth ride, and no problems. Just let it be a smooth ride, but I don't know. Usually it's rocky and bumpy, and we have a headache when it's done.
And Bowie, a running back, goes third. I didn't think it was going to be the rush on running backs by any means. And then his teammate goes last in the first round. That's it for running backs. Just when I think maybe we're getting back to more importance with the running game, we had MVP of a Super Bowl be a running back, only two running backs in the first round, both from Notre Dame.
Yeah, I tell you what. And then I think Mike Washington, if I'm mistaken, I think Mike Washington was the next back off the board, fourth round to the Raiders. And then there are some fantastic, like Ka'Tron Allen went in the sixth round to the Commanders out of Penn State. That blew my mind.
Mike Washington's going to be a star.
Yeah, Mike, you know, Ashon Jeanty, he played well, but he didn't live up to the hype with the Raiders last season. And, you know, it's one of those things you say, oh, wow, it could be crazy. Well, what's crazy is when training camp starts and preseason starts and then the game starts, Jenji could have a great year, second year rebound. But nonetheless, if you're handing him the rock and making big chunks, it's not going to take long for everybody to identify who's the better ball carrier. So they got two great backs. But Emmett Johnson, Nebraska, fifth round. I was blown away, as you said, from, you know, Jordarian Price at 32, Jalen Love at 3, and then the hiatus of running backs. I was like, wow, it's absolute. You know, it's hard to say first-round running backs, but when you look at the rest of the draft class, which is pretty good, you know, it's crazy. I told Landon before we went live, you know, the one guy the Titans took that I absolutely adore is Nicholas Singletary out of Penn State. You know, better tape in 2024, a little binged up this past year.
Got a little lost this year, yeah.
Yeah, a little sleeper you guys got there in the fifth round. If there's one guy that I would be really thrilled about, Anthony Hill. You guys know I love Anthony Hill. You get him in the second round. But Singletary's a great back and a nice sleeper back. And Brett, you know this. If this was 1985, Singletary would have been a third, second round back, a first round back.
For sure, top 15 pick.
Yeah. So you know, but it's changed, and the receivers get that glory now. You know, that used to be what the running backs would do. We would see a running back draft class.
And drafting a receiver won't get you fired, but for a GM, if you swing and miss with a running back at the top of that first round, that owner never forgets it.
No. You know, you're right. And the wild thing about it right now, you got Brandon Ayuk on the market. I mean, I know you got Tyreek Hill coming off a knee injury, but you got Tyreek Hill out there. It's one of those strange positions where it's so coveted, but yet you can always find one. Elite high-priced ones. You know, A.J. Brown, we know he's going to be traded. You know, these aren't, you know, these are all-pro, Pro Bowl-type talents. I mean, very rarely, look across the landscape of the National Football League, you can't go across positional position to position and find guys at this elite level that are always available, yet come draft time, teams clamor 5, 6, 7 in the first round every year. And yet, lo and behold, in the offseason or heading into free agency, one of the top positions that you can fill, wide receiver, like any other position, not like any other position where you're really strapped, you can't find these guys out there.
Bo, we're short on time today because of Ole Miss baseball, but we do want everybody to get their Hall of Fame player. It can be any round, but I'm going with the first rounder. You, the guest, the great guest, the experts, you always go first. Who's your Hall of Famer out of this draft?
I hate being so boring, but I'm going to go with Jeremiah Love. I think he's a true talent. I could have went Caleb Downs. I could have went a lot of ways, but I'm going to make it easy. I'm sorry to like go so soft and just pick a kind of a clear favorite, but I'm going to go with Love. You guys?
Brent?
Caleb Downs.
Why not?
Nah, it's not biased. I promise it's not biased. I would
have
said
they
it with any team.
Him to be?
Oh, no, they definitely are. But I would have said that about Caleb Downs no matter what team picked them, maybe.
That's good. I have no problem with either. Landon?
I'm right there with Bo before he even said it. I'm thinking Love as well.
Jeremiah Love from St. Louis via Notre Dame. I'm going to go with an offensive lineman.
Smart.
I've done this before. I've been right before. I've been wrong before. But very similar to a player for this franchise. I'm going to take Spencer Fano from Utah with the Browns in the Joe Thomas mold.
I like that.
I like it.
I think that's good.
I like it.
I think it's good.
Yeah. There's a lot of good linemen.
Yeah.
Are we still working on Chance Warmack's acceptance speech, Bo, for me?
Yeah.
Me and you, our fans would have said fire that front office because we would have been like, we have a chance. Me and Brett love Chance Warmack.
Oh man,
we sure love him.
Oh man. Well, Bo, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
Stay blessed, gentlemen. Thank you always.
Thanks, Bo.
Thank you, Bo. Bo Marchant with us talking college football. At All-Star Chevrolet, they want to talk about that summer road trip that you need to start right there on Highway 78 in Olive Branch. Take Kraft Goodman Road, and you're there. Olive Branch right there in one place with all the great vehicles, like their Traverse, the Tahoe, the Suburban with the third-row seat. New Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings. Financing as low as 1.9. Go big with a new HD Silverado, no payment for 90 days. Your good credit deserves it, and you get it. Military and first responders, you get that instant extra $500 bonus, and thank you so much for your service. Nobody beats All-Star certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is right there in Olive Branch to get to work for you and to get to work for your business. First thing tomorrow morning, all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, Corvettes, all right there in Olive Branch. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star in Olive Branch and get the most money back for your trade. Together, let's drive to All-Star Chevrolet. Don't miss the worker vacation event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet. For more information, go to allstarautogroup.com.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest press time.
You are looking live in your life. Have you
seen anything like that.
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye! Hello, Heisman!
It's obviously crunch time. Get up, get him up, get him up, get
him up, get him up, get him up, get him up. Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Well, it's Tuesday. That means Crunch Time is brought to you by Humdinger's Taco Tuesday. Enjoy crunchy slaw, grilled fish and chicken, and the best taco sauce in town. $2 tacos all day. It's by far the best deal in town. Well, Brett, what I learned today, really both of these are what I could have done without today, but what I learned is that what we already knew, the NCAA would be expanding March Madness. They're expanding it to 76 teams. They're hoping to get it officially finalized at some point in May, but today they've taken the final steps to make it final. Now, I guess the one good thing that comes from this is because of the additional games, 52 teams would auto-slot into the main bracket, and 12 games for the 24 teams would be on Tuesday and Wednesday in a rebuilt opening round instead of the first four. So that means
Memphis needs to be bidding on that.
Yeah, that would be great. The 12 games for the 24 teams in the expanded NCAA tournament will be labeled, quote, the opening round. So you think 12 games, that would be 6-6. I guess the good thing from this is we would get all-day basketball Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday into the weekend.
We got to start doing that as our bracket, don't we?
I guess so.
We got to start picking those games.
I'm not happy about it. Yeah, but
I'm not either. They'll make us get used to it, though.
I guess so. I don't know.
But I learned the economics of college sports. This is why a lot of things like this are happening. Some sports are going to be left behind. In no world should someone have to spend $1 million to make $82. Mm-hmm. That just does not make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
For any good reason.
Yeah, it comes down to the finances, and it doesn't make sense. What I could have done without the what it sounds like the NBA is going to do for the draft lottery moving forward, the bottom three teams will have less of a chance to get the number one overall pick. You look this year, this is supposed to be the biggest tanking year of all time. You look at the bottom three teams, the Nets, the Pacers, the Wizards, they're not down there because they were tanking. They're down there because they're bad. I don't think this is a good idea because I think it penalizes the teams that aren't tanking. They're penalizing the teams that are just bad and need those top picks.
Such a solid, great point. It really is. I could have done without Rob Thompson out in Philly, and Carlos Mendoza in New York has to be scared to look at his phone. $300 million in payroll for the Phillies, $380 for the Mets, and they have a combined 18 wins for $680 million.
Yeah.
15 wins for the homeless A's. They're doing it on $136 million.
Yeah, no, they've been fun to watch. And the Red Sox, the first team to pull the trigger, they haven't lost since they fired their manager. So it has been
and
weird.
Won the last night with him, didn't they?
A big win. It was like 17-1. I mean, it was a crazy win, and then he was out the door. Where are you beaming tonight?
17-win Cubbies at 19-win San Diego. That's a rematch of the 84 LCS that the Cubs choked up after a 2-0 lead in a best 3-out-of-5 series. Tonight, Cabrera against Walker Buehler.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Beam me, though, over in the NBA, 7 o'clock on NBC, Hawks and Knicks. This should be a lot of fun. This series has been a lot of fun, tied up 2-apiece. We'll see who gets the advantage tonight. We talked about those odd games. This one feels massive for both sides.
It really does. Cardinals in Draft Town, in Sports Town, in Pittsburgh. Yankees in the Metroplex against the Rangers. Hawks at Knicks. Atlanta usually doesn't win this kind of game, but neither do the Knicks.
No.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give. It's my favorite phrase in all of sports, but it is going to be a fun night. You've got the basketball. You've got the baseball. You've got some hockey as well, but we got to get out of here. Again, we're out early tonight. Ole Miss baseball in action against Mississippi State. We're going to get you over there in a couple minutes for the pregame show with first pitch scheduled for 6 o'clock down in Pearl. So that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.